Welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. You know what? We have changed things up a little bit. We're going to also have the podcast show on YouTube. And to kick it off, I decided we're going to kick Mitch off. How's that?
That's great.
And Greg is taking his place. Greg's happy. He's like, yeah, I'll take his place. What do you think about that, Mitch?
Happens to me all the time, man. I've been kicked out of better places than this.
Well, we're classy people here, so that's what I got to say about that. But we're excited because this is a new venue. We've been having a podcast show, and it's been just audio, but we're kicking it off, and we're going to take it into YouTube so people can I don't know why they'd want to see us.
Quite amazing, isn't it?
That is amazing. So our guest today is Greg Robinson. He is a crappie guide here on Beaver Lake, and he's also a member of Pico Lures Pro Staff. We're happy to have him on because he is a very talented crappie fishing guide, man. He can catch crappie any place he goes, but right here, we're going to get some insight on how he's going to catch them this winter. And Mitch is going to grill him on some of his techniques, aren't you, Mitch?
Well, I'd rather grill some crappie, but if he's always available, we'll grill him.
There you go.
Greg, tell us a little bit about your guide service. How long have you been doing it?
I'm fixing to start my eighth year as actual guiding. It's just been really, really good. It's grown. You know, the thing is you come out and you get on the boat, and I furnish everything. I mean, I furnish everything except for lunch. I've got snacks on board. I've just all the rods, reels, tackle. I furnish everything completely. All you got to do is come and fish, enjoy. And I try to – we have a lot of people that, you know, of course, naturally, a lot of people that hire a guide is – they don't know how to fish, or they can't comprehend what to do to catch a fish. So also, besides just fishing, we're having to teach people of how to do, and it's just been a really, really good thing to go and do. And I've been very fortunate with people like Pico Lures and stuff to support me and allow me to be able to do what I do.
Yeah. So, Mitch, you're a big crappie fisherman, aren't you?
Well, I'm getting bigger every day, and I'm a crappie fisherman, so yeah. I'm ready to hibernate for winter.
Oh, you tell me, what's that one question you wanted to ask Greg? You know, you were trying to come up with a question, and you said you had one for him, so let him have it.
Oh, I don't know.
As long as it's not the one that he was talking about at the expo, well, you know, that we win a prize. You know?
And he's not giving you GPS coordinates either. We'll just put that out there right now.
We're on the air, so I've kind of got to be careful here. You're pretty good into live scope now, Greg.
Yes, sir.
So do you think that is going to revolutionize the crappie industry, or do you think it's going to eventually harm the crappie fishing?
I could see, as far as large fish, where it might could do a little harm. There's a lot of people that are getting into the live scope fishing to the point where catching bigger fish on Beaver Lake. I've known of people catching more of them than we've ever had before. Some of those people are conscious about that, and they do throw a fair amount back, but there's a lot of people putting a knife to them too. But I think as far as on our lake, Beaver Lake, we have a whole lot more fish here than people really realize. We have, when you go out and you catch 30 keepers in a day, and they're all from 10 inches all the way up to 14 inch, and even if you got a big, large number of 12, 13 inches, but you still catch 40, 50 short fish that you can't keep. I think as long as we can keep that ratio going, I don't see it really harming. There's a lot of people against it because it's somewhat easier to catch a fish, I guess. That is true, and it's not true. Live scope's a blast. You go out. It is just it's a big thrill to see them hit the bait and catch them and relate to your lure. But at the same token, it's very frustrating when you go and you fish all day and the conditions of the weather's got their the COVID mask on, I think, you know.
Right.
They it's just like they swim up there and literally, you know, just don't even bite it. I mean, they'll just nip the tail or something or just swim right. real by it real quick. And it's just that part's kind of a deal. But
we didn't realize what kind of aggravations we were missing out on now.
Exactly. Exactly. But, you know, in the 2-3 years now that I've been using LiveScope, it's really interesting of how many times over the years that I just missed one. You're not missing those fish. Believe it or not, those fish are missing you. I mean, you can sit right there on screen and watch it, and they'll swim up there, and you think, boy, he's going to nail it, and he'll swim by, and he'll brush that lure, and you feel it. And right. when that happens, they're missing you. You're not missing them. You're always jerk, though. Jerk.
A man can't help himself from something.
Exactly. It's the big thrill, you know?
And we're talking about LiveScope, so you actually are kind of on the cutting edge of having new products that are just for LiveScope fishing, like your tackle.
Right, and LiveScope is it's changing the way we all fish big time. I mean, I can remember in a day where I didn't do nothing but just pull up and put a buoy marker on a brush pile and we cast it out, and hey, tell your customer, you say, hey, count down to 1,000, 2,000, 2,000, count it down to about 10, and then reel it in at this speed. Bam, you're going to get bit. It's took all that out. I mean, we vertical jig. We do some casting, but like even dock shooters, people that love shooting the docks, I can pull up to a dock. If we're going to shoot docks today, I can scan underneath. I can tell you where the fish are at, what corner they're at, where the shad are at. Then if they're too far back in there and you can't get to them, you can turn your hydro wave on and pull them shad back out to the outer edge of that dock and then still catch 2 or 3 of them before they get back up underneath.
Right.
It's really changed the way we fish.
And I was also thinking about, like, jig heads, like, Not to drop anything here, but I do know that Pico, it was phenomenal, the number of people at the Crappie Expo that came in, and they actually, Mitch, we sold out of some certain sizes of those, didn't we?
Oh, my gosh. It looked like somebody declared war on that little section of pegboard. I'm telling you what.
So, especially the pink. Did you notice that? How the pinks
the pink
went?
Was gone. That pink was, I just turned my back and that one peg of pink was gone.
Yeah. It's like the 16th of the 8th ounce was gone the first day on the pink.
Yep.
And the chromes, that new chrome that we got, that came out, that went fast too.
Yes,
tell us about the jig head and why. Greg, why that works? What is that doing?
Yeah, I got with Mitch on this when I come aboard, and what's going on with LiveScope? So many people have went to the 1/8 ounce, 3/16, and a quarters. They're not fishing. If they fish with anything below the 3/16, they would be putting a split shot above it, a big split shot about 6 inches above their bait so they could see it. Because LiveScope, you can see a 1/16 ounce jig head. It's just a little small speck, and that in a 32nd, depending on the range that you have your deal. But you can't constantly keep zooming in and out you know, to a 10-foot scale to be able to see that jig when it's out there at 15-foot. So what they're doing is they were transitioning in and putting split shots above it. Simply, one, it gets it down quicker, and two, it does make it more available to read on the dive scope.
The image shows up better. So.
Exactly. Uh-huh. So what we've done with Mitch's expertise and stuff, we've come up with this, jig head, and like for an example, even the 32nd, the 16th, all of them, all sizes. We carry 32nd, 16th, 1/8, 3/16, and the quarters. And those, it's a round head in sensible, but they flattened the edges on the sides where the eye would be on a normal jig head. And that has made that jig head bigger looking. Even if you look at a 16th-ounce jig head versus another 16th-ounce, when you first glance at it, you think, well, that's an 1/8. That's not a 16th. And it just shows up tremendously better on live scope. And it's another thing we've noticed with the live scope is putting that reflector eye on there, that you can actually see that reflecting on the live scope if you'll put it in front of it about 10-foot range or so and zoom that in. You can see that yellow reflection inside that. And I think it's I've been fishing with it now for, a month or so, I guess, 2 months. And it's the only jig head I'll use. And, you know, and the thing about it is a lot of people are not only – using it for live scope, but it's a good jig head just to use in general. It's got a good hook in it. It's got one of the best hooks in the market in it. That Skipjack, I think they call it, Skipjack Mustang. Isn't that right, Craig, Mitch?
Yeah, that's what it is, Mustang Skipjack.
Yes, and very stout, very sharp. The wire keeper holds the baits up on there very well. I mean, you can use this jig for dock shooting if you want to. But a lot of people are a little bit timid in trying to use it around brush because they think of that side being flat, thinking that it'll hang up more easier in a brush pile. It doesn't. I fish the brush piles. A sickle hook or the skipjack will come near hooking up to the brush more so than the jig head will because of the big wide gap on it.
And that's just part of what you're using. You have the rods. Of course, I've been in a boat. I've been lucky enough and saw. So the jig head and the soft plastics, but the rods that you're using, tell people about the rods that you're using because it's a new, like, there's a lot of rods that are coming out.
And there's a lot of good rod companies out there. I mean, there really is. And I use the Power Crappie, Todd Huckabee rod, and I use them from dock shooting all the way up to the vertical jigging with the long pole.
Right.
My favorite pole, if I am long poling, is the 14-foot flip stick. And a lot of my customers, I step them down to the 12-foot slab swinger because they're a little bit intimidated by the long length until they get used to that. But the Huckabee, we have such a wide variety of different areas. I shoot docks with the 6-foot, they call it six shooter. Another one of my favorites. Sometimes these fish on live scope, they get skittish, and whether they hear the trolling motor or see the shadow of the boat coming towards them, and they'll start swimming away. About the time you think you're going to be able to pitch out with your, 14. I can take my 14-footer and I can pitch it out 20-foot if I want, but a lot of people are targeting those fish at 20. And 30-foot in front of them, and at that point, they're taking and casting the jig out on it. And another thing, a lot of people don't realize, and it doesn't matter whether you have a super long pole, the long pole it works better, or an 8-footer like I use. I like to do if I'm going to cast out on them and swim it up over roaming fish.
Right.
I will use an 8-foot primer eptic Huckabee rod, and you get enough distance to catch, but it's got enough backbone. You can still sling those fish right in the boat. But the only time I ever split shots if I drop below the eighth ounce, I will, and I'm just doing that just to get it down there quicker,
right?
Because you can whistle a song, you know, waiting on a 32nd ounce or a 16th. But the Huckabee rod is a great rod and a very good quality rod. And for the people that, there's a lot of people call them the broomstick.
Right.
For a broomstick, you won't pick up any more sensitive rod for the bulk. But I don't call it a broomstick. It's a great rod.
Yeah. Mitch, what are people buying to put on the Scopi jig head?
I think one of the most popular ones right now are the Pico Pointer Shad.
Oh.
Which one?
Pico Pointer Shad?
Pointer Shad, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the pointer shads are, they're just that all round right size, right shape, right profile, right action type of bait. I mean, it's the most popular thing going right now. I've been seeing a lot of people starting to put curl tails on them too, though. For like,
right, that's what I'm saying.
When you're talking about swimming them over the brush piles and stuff, the little 2-inch curl tails. Mm-hmm. I got to try your little 6-shooter out the other day, Greg. I just got to spend a couple hours out there. And I discovered that, you know, at pretty near 60-year-old, overweight, and with bad knees, I don't enjoy getting down on one knee to shoot boat docks as much as I used to.
Sure.
Maybe you should take the pedestal off, like take the pedestal off from your seat and just put your seat like on the floor of your boat.
Yeah, but see, I'm kind of clumsy too, Brad. So I have to kind of have a lifeline that ties my
lifeline
to that butt seat pole.
Well, there is one advantage. You know, you're a little bit lower to the deck to start with. You know, yeah, you take somebody like me.
I'm getting closer to the deck every day. Well, hey, the grass is still green where I can see it. So.
I can see it now, Pico. Rescue button, like a little fob that you wear around your neck. So if you fall in the boat, it's like help.
They call that an auto inflator.
We just got to go to these multi-species boats. So we're standing in the bottom water level and shooting.
Well, what I discovered about the tip on that little rod, that is about the best skipping rod I've ever seen. I mean, that thing, I can put that jig anywhere I want to put it and by skipping it in there.
Yep.
So I'm like, what the hell am I doing? Standing up, kneeling down, standing up, kneeling down. I just stood up there and just skipped that jig. And also the thing about that Scopi with that wire keeper, it doesn't tear your grub up. You know, that little pointer shad, it doesn't phase it in the least. I mean, you can just slap the water, do whatever you want. Stuff that jig in there, banging into boat props and house boats or whatever, sitting in that slip. It doesn't tear your grub up.
Right. And with what you're talking about there too, Mitch, this past Wednesday, I fished Veterans Day. I was out fishing and we didn't catch a ton of fish that day, but the bait that I was using the, pointer shad and, I literally caught like 8 or 9 on the one jig, and I finally got hung up, and it pulled it enough when I got it hung up that it tore the bait. So there wasn't no pushing it back up on there. So, I mean, I fished with that one jig pretty much all day.
Wow.
You know?
Right.
So
they'll pretty much stay on there. I mean, my best so far, I've caught 22 fish on one grub. Without any damage to it, without ever having to push it back up on the chain.
Right.
That was bluegill, crappie, Kentucky bass, everything. But I went through 22 fish, never pushed it back up on the chain. And then I hung it up on a boat cable and lost it.
Yeah. And I visited with a couple of people at the expo that bought some of the jig heads. And they were talking about, they wasn't complaining about the price. of the jig, but they were talking about what they were, the price was versus other jig heads. And I made that point to them. I said, well, you know, yes, you may have to give a little bit more for the jig head, but you're going to go through a lot less bait. I said, I have in the years past of fishing with other brands of jig heads, I have actually went through a whole package or more of baits. Oh, yeah. I mean, I have actually fished with baits and not really caught a fish just by bumping something or get hung up one time and had to replace it because the old barbs would just tear them and they wouldn't stay up on the deal. And when I explained that to them and they seen that by demonstrating it, how it would hold, I mean, they bought the jig heads.
Right.
So
just the pure act of setting a hook on a fish that's not really there will rip a grub off of a lot.
Exactly. Yeah.
So tell us, Greg, about with your guide service, what's going to happen like the next couple months? If they were to go out with you, what would they expect? What would they be doing?
Well, most likely this time of year, I'll be just doing all pretty much vertical jigging, brush piles, and some dock shooting, most generally. And I do a lot of spider rigging this time of year. And a lot of times with customers, I don't do quite as much live scope fishing as I'd like to because not everybody learns that. I mean,
there's a learning curve.
You got to take a little bit of learning of, you know, your live scope is only a 20-degree cone. And so starting at the trolling motor where my live scope transducer is, so at 20 foot, that beam's only like 8 or 9 feet wide. And then when you get on out there at 50 foot, then it's like 19, 20 foot. So, but you get too far out, you can't see your jig, and you can't tell exactly what fish you're looking at until you get it on in there a little closer. On the live scope, if you look beyond about 30, 40 feet, then they become like looking like little lines a lot of time, especially the bigger fish. And so you're thinking, boy, there's a good one right there. So you start going towards him to get in there on him. And then as you're zooming that in and getting him closer, then it might have been a gar or it might be a big white bass or stripe or something, you know, to get on there. So I try to keep it in a reasonable distance. And therefore, that makes that little column a little bit. But once they get used to it, they do that.
So brush piles pretty important.
Yes, yes.
Like right now.
Yeah.
Now and for the next couple months.
Yeah, I mean, this time of year, it's pretty much just from now until spring. I mean, brush piles, you will find them on they should start staging on some pole timber if you can find the right timber. You can pull them off of some pole timber. That's what we wound up doing.
Pole timber's fine. That's what we were doing.
This like past Wednesday, that's what we wound up
Two or three years ago, I think we did a video on fishing pole timber. And
And then that live scope fishing's really, really fun with the pole timber because you see them on there. They may not be just a whole big school of them, but they'll be good quality fish. It'll almost look like a, sometimes it's just like a real bright dot, right up against the tree. And you just bring that jig by. And if he ever commits, if he ever turns and commits, hang on because you're going to get bit.
There you go. Tell them how they can get in contact with you, Greg.
You can get in touch with me through Facebook or that sort of thing, Greg's Guide Service. Or you can contact me by phone. 479-601-1683. And then I have an email of Greg@gregsguideservice.com.
Okay.
Greg with an S. Gregsguideservice.com. And you can email me that way. I don't get a lot. I've got a web page out there, but I don't look at it a lot. I don't have I don't have much response with it, so I just kind of let that go.
There you go. That's going to wrap it up. Mitch isn't here, so he...
All right.
What's your last words, Mitch?
Hey, Travis Scopa.
Oh, there you go.
Great photo.
Always the salesman. Hey, that was our show. Like I said, we're taking it to YouTube. So you're going to be able to see us. It's like live scope. Fishing Guide Podcast, where you can see us.
There you go.
You may not want to get too close to us, but but that's how it is. Appreciate you listening, and catch us next week on our show.
This week's Tackle Time, let's talk about this scope-eyed jig head. We spent quite a bit of time putting this thing together. Went through several different varieties of eyeballs that we put in this thing. As you heard in the podcast there, you can actually, up pretty close, you can actually see the reflection of the eyeball in the middle of the reflection of the jig head. The reason being is because we've got a foil backer inside that eyeball that actually reflects more. So couple that with the design of the head and the wire keeper, and from somebody that's been fishing for 55 years, I'm telling you what, it's as good of a panfish jig head as I have ever used, and I'm proud to bring it to the public. Give it a try. I do believe you'll like it.
There you go. Thanks for listening to the Fishing Guide Podcast. Hey, for Mitch and myself, keep your hooks wet and your lures in the water.